are continuing our series today. We are calling Love Out Loud because we are looking at the authentic love of Jesus. And as you look at the Gospels, it is not hard to find. And it's not just because of what he did, but it's because of who he was and because of who he is. Now, before we get into the message, just something I want to say just real quick about next weekend. You are not going to want to miss next weekend. I can't tell you a whole lot about it right now, but I can tell you that it's going to be a go big or go home kind of weekend. I'm very excited. We're going to have Michael Chipwood here from World Vision here. He's going to be our guest speaker for Father's Day. And we are tackling a God-sized goal. It's going to take all of us, and I'm just going to be honest with you, probably some more of us after that. But you're not going to want to miss next weekend. Now, last weekend, we kicked off this series, and we talked about loving out loud and how we do that with the people right around us, right? Like, God has put people in our spheres of influence right around us, and the Holy Spirit is constantly orchestrating these opportunities for us to love one another, to show love to those where we live, work, learn, and play, right? Like, our families, our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates, those people we play golf with or play basketball with or whatever we do for fun, that God has put us in people's lives and the Holy Spirit is constantly orchestrating. So last week we said, hey, what if we just all like ask the Holy Spirit to just prompt like five names just to come to mind and just love those people. Maybe ask them how we can pray for them. Just ask them how they're doing. Or maybe we even get an opportunity to share our story of what Jesus has done in our lives and our testimony. Who knows how far the Holy Spirit will take it. But that's the Holy Spirit's business. Just five. So I would love to hear your stories. If you took on that challenge this past week, and if you didn't, it's not too late. You can still do that anytime. I would love to hear your stories. If you're here on campus today, even as we do our serve day here in just a little bit, as we're out in the parking lot serving, if you see me, would you and you've got one of those stories, would you just share that with me? And then we've got another place that you can send some of those stories. But we want to celebrate these things because this is not of us. This is of the Holy Spirit. So we want to hear those stories. And so you can kind of see where it starts with us in the circles that God has already put us in. And then sometimes there are opportunities for us to come together and serve, and that is what today is about, our OHC Serve Day. Now, if you can't be here on campus, if you're worshiping with us online, we're so glad that you're with us. There are other ways that you're going to be able to participate with us online and virtually. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a moment. But you can kind of see, it starts with those around us, and then sometimes we come together, we serve the city, we serve the community around us because there are certain needs that we can meet together. And then next weekend, well, maybe you can kind of see where this is going. Did I mention you don't want to miss next week? Okay, I think I did. I recently heard a story about a man who is not much on serving. He was really a lot more about being served. He was not much of a giver. He was more of a taker. And he was always complaining about everything. He was, where's dinner? And why is it cold? And, you know, his wife would ask him to pick up after himself. And he'd say, I'm too tired. And his kids would ask him, will you help with our homework? And he'd say, I'm too busy. And one day he took his mule down to the creek. That's right. There's a mule in the story. It's my story. I'm going to tell this story the way I want to. He took his mule down to the creek, and the mule got so fed up with him. I mean, even his mule got so fed up with his incessant whining and complaining, the mule kicked him and killed him. Didn't see that coming, did you? At the funeral, as the men would walk by, the wife would nod her head yes, and as the women walked by, she would nod her head no. Now, the minister started noticing, like, what was going on, and so he asked her, like, can you explain to me, like, every time the men would walk by, you'd nod your head yes, and the women walked by, you'd nod your head no. And she said, well, here's the thing. When the men would walk by, they would say, hey, we're really sorry to hear about your husband, and I would say to them, yes, I'll be all right. But when the women walked by, all they wanted to know was, is the mule for sale? Some of you will get that later. Now, I'm not saying that our topic today is a matter of life and death. But what we are saying today is that for Jesus, the topic of serving was a matter of lifestyle. It wasn't just something that he did. It was something that he was. It's something that he is still to this day now through his people. No one loved out loud louder than Jesus himself. Now, here's the question for us today. Could the same be said of his followers? Could the same be said for his followers? Because, honest moment, let's just be honest, right? We're gonna be real here. This is a safe place. We can be selfish. Even followers of Jesus can be a little self-conscious, a little self-absorbed. Okay, maybe I can just speak for myself. Maybe I can't speak for you, but I can be a little distracted. I can walk right by a need and sometimes not even see it. You know who I can be like? I can be a lot like those earliest disciples that walked with Jesus. And they were good people. They had good intentions. I mean, they wanted to change the world. They desperately wanted to change their world. What they wanted to be great. But in their society, much like ours, sometimes we have to be reminded of what true greatness truly is. One day Jesus is walking with his disciples and this argument breaks out. Yes, even walking with Jesus, these disciples are arguing. And you're not going to believe what they are arguing about. I kid you not. They are arguing about who among them is the greatest. Can you believe that? These guys have been walking with Jesus, and here they are, as if he can't hear them. They're arguing about who is the greatest. And here is how Jesus responds in Mark 10. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to," what church? Serve. "And to give his life as a ransom for many." What a response. Now, I can't blame the disciples. I mean, they knew the rules of their society. No one could ignore that. They knew that if you wanted influence, you needed power. You needed political power. You needed authoritative power so that everyone could know who was in charge. And these guys, they were underneath the oppressive rule of the Romans, and they were over it. And you see, in our society, much like theirs, greatness is being defined, but it's not always the true definition of greatness. I mean, think about our society today. If you want influence, well, you need more followers on social media. You want more power, you're gonna need more votes. You want more status, you're gonna need some fame. If you want to be great in our society, then you are going to need your name to be remembered for years to come. They knew the rules. We know the rules. But what they didn't know was that Jesus was about to rewrite the rules. John chapter 13, if you have your Bibles, turn there. We're going to begin in verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to his Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Let's stop there for just a moment. It's the Passover festival, the annual Passover festival. Once a year, Jews come together, and they had been for hundreds and hundreds of years coming together to celebrate God delivering the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage. And so once a year, they would come together. So I want you to just imagine Jerusalem is just packed with people. I mean, it is bustling with celebration. But at the same time that all this celebration is taking place, for some reason, John wants us to know that Jesus knows his hour has come. Now, why would John include that little detail? Why would he give us that insight into the mind of Jesus? I think what John is telling us, Jesus is in charge around here. Okay, what is about to happen to Jesus, nothing's going to happen to him that is outside of his control. Jesus is being deliberate with every single move that takes place over the next few chapters. See, he's in control. He is choosing. What is he choosing to do? Well, John tells us he's chosen to love his own. To love his own. Now, this is significant. Now, you think, okay, this is Jesus we're talking about here. He loves the whole world. He loves everyone, right? Well, yes, he does. He's got the whole world in his hands. But he had a special relationship with those who walk with him, those who believe in him. There's a special relationship here. It's very interesting. In John, for the first 12 chapters, we find the word love 6 times. And over the next 5 chapters, 13 through 17, it's almost like the dam breaks and the word love begins to flood every page. 31 times in 5 chapters, John will pen the word love. But Jesus didn't just talk about love. He showed it to his disciples. Verse 2, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew, and here it is again, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Now let's stop there for just a second. Jesus knew that his Father had given him all power and all authority. Now I want you to ask a question. If you knew, if you could just snap your fingers and you knew in just a moment that you'd been given all power and all authority over everything, the entire universe, what would you do? That's a dangerous question for us, isn't it? Here's what Jesus did. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. What Jesus does here, I don't even know how to convey this. It's unheard of. It's unprecedented. For these disciples, in this day and time, what he just did, it's unbelievable. It's unimaginable. Okay, first of all, feet. Let's just start there. Feet. So you know what I'm talking about. Feet are nasty, right? Let's just be honest. And these aren't just any feet. Like, okay, in this day and time, these would have been feet that would have been in open sandals. They would have been walking down these dusty roads. I mean, they walked everywhere. They walked long miles. They would have been walking down these dusty roads where the animals did their business in the middle of the road, and they would just kind of, you know, walk through it. So not only are these nasty feet, but these nasty feet have got some nasty stuff on them, okay? That's the way it was in this day and time. That's why foot washing was it was a humiliating task to wash someone's feet. That's why you might see a woman wash a man's feet, or a child wash a woman's feet, or a slave or servant wash the guest's feet. You see, it was about hierarchy. It was about status. You would never see it the other way around. I mean, sometimes people didn't even wash their own feet. They sure weren't going to wash each other's feet. And then Jesus gets up in the middle of this dinner. This is one of those moments that I really wish someone would have had a camera, just to take a picture of the disciples' faces when Jesus gets up in the middle of the dinner. This honored teacher begins to derobe and to put on a towel around his waist. What was he doing? He was dressing like a slave. He was dressing like a servant. They would have known exactly what he was doing. Now, maybe they didn't know why, but they knew what this meant. But that's not even the half of it. He's Jesus. He's not just some honored teacher. He is the cosmic sovereign, resigning himself to become a common servant. As you can imagine, this made them feel a little uncomfortable. At least we know it made Peter feel very uncomfortable. And that's why he says, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Peter, never one to be speechless, had a lot to say. But here's what Jesus is saying to Peter. "Peter, I'm rewriting the rules. I'm redefining what greatness is servanthood." He's saying, "Peter, if I can't be your servant, then I can't be your Savior. If you don't want this part of me, then you're going to miss out on all of me." And Peter says, "I don't want to miss out on any of you, Jesus. Wash me, like all of me. I am all in." He's beginning to get it, that Jesus has come to serve. We want to serve one another. We want to love one another. But here's where it begins. Let Jesus serve you. Does this make you feel a little uncomfortable, like it did Peter? I get it. But remember what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." That's still true today. Jesus wants to serve you. Now, not for your glory, but for God's glory. Everything that Jesus does is always for the glory of God. But he wants to serve you. When you wake up in the morning, Jesus is waiting on you. He wants to serve you. He wants to protect you. He wants to guide you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to love you. He wants to serve you. The question is, will you let him? Letting Jesus serve you is where it begins. But this is ultimately where it takes us. "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So right now, we're going to bring out some basins of water. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. You see, it's not about the physical foot washing. He's saying, this is the way I love you, and this is the way you're going to love each other. This is the way you're going to serve one another. What Jesus is telling them is that God's plan A for unleashing the salvation and his rule and reign throughout the world begins with disciples unleashing love on one another. That's why later in this chapter, John 13, he would say this, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." If you love one another. So this is where it begins. Be humble enough to let Jesus serve you. And you'll be able to serve one another. In fact, that's point number two. Serve one another. When we allow Jesus to serve us, then we are able to love one another. To serve one another. This is the example that Jesus has given us. And this is how he wants us to love each other. If you are my disciples, this is how they're going to know. This is how they're going to know, because you love each other. Today, we get a chance to serve one another. See, this is what Jesus is calling them to. He's saying, I'm setting the standard here. I mean, think about it. There are dirty feet at the table. Why are there dirty feet at the table? Because everybody saw foot washing as a task that was beneath them. Everyone except for Jesus. Jesus is saying, I'm setting the standard. We don't get to lower the bar because it's inconvenient for us. We don't get to lower the bar because it's uncomfortable. I wonder how many needs go unmet because we look at the need and we say, you know what, I'm not doing that. Right? Like they weren't even washing their own feet. They weren't about to wash each other's feet. I mean, to quote the great philosopher Meatloaf, I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. That's what it was like in their day and time. I'm not going to do that. I mean, how many needs go unmet because we just say, we don't say it out loud, but just kind of in the quietness in our heart, we just know it's beneath us. I'm not going to do that. Or maybe it's not the task. Maybe we don't say, well, that's beneath me. Or I'm not going to do that. Maybe what we say is, well, I'll do that, but I'm not going to do that for them. As Jesus says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. As he stoops down and washes the feet of Judas, the one who would betray him. He set the standard. You see, when we let Jesus serve us, we have the strength to serve one another. And through that strength, we can serve the world around us. Let Jesus serve you, serve one another, serve the world around you. Serving is not a box to be checked. It's not, okay, got that, got that, got that. Okay, serve, okay, good, done that. Serving is not a way of earning points with Jesus. In fact, serving is what points to Jesus. It's why we serve. It points to him. It points to his glory. Serving's not an event. I'm excited about our serve day today, but serving, it's not an event. It is a lifestyle. And so today, we're going to see a need, and we're going to meet a need together. There are some needs that we might be able to meet just on our own, but sometimes there are needs that we just need each other to be able to meet. Why did the disciples get their feet washed? Because Jesus saw a need, and he met a need. It really is that simple. I really think that John, that Jesus did this action because it really is that simple, just to see a need and meet a need. Sometimes we try to complicate it so much, but it really is that simple. So today, we've looked throughout our city, throughout our community. Those of you who are worshiping online with us from around the world, you have your own community, you have your own city. You have needs. But here in this city, we have rampant poverty. We have food insecurity. And so we're partnering with Children's Hunger Fund to pack food boxes today because people need food. We saw a need and we're going to meet a need and we're going to do it together. Our community always needs blood. And so we're going to donate blood today. In fact, so many of you signed up to do that. We actually had to bring in more equipment and more people to even be able to handle all the people who wanted to donate blood today. You guys are awesome. It's an amazing response. We're partnering with Hill Country Daily Bread. We're partnering with Habitat for Humanity. Why? Because we looked into our city and our community and, well, we have a crisis of affordable housing, a lack of affordable housing. So we're going to do something about that. We see a need and we're going to meet the need. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Those of you who are worshiping with us online, you can still participate virtually right now, even today with us. You can scan that QR code right there. It's going to allow you to, this is really pretty cool because anywhere in the U.S., you can order, fill, and return a food pack somewhere in the U.S. through Children's Hunger Fund. So no matter where you are, you can do that. That scan that code, it's going to take you to the place that you... That's pretty cool, right? I mean, like, even in our day and time, we don't have to physically be somewhere to be able to do this. So wherever you may be, you can be a part of this. And then you can also donate to our work with Habitat for Humanity as we continue to build homes for brand new homeowners who otherwise couldn't afford the housing that they need for their families. One of my favorite things to say to my kids as I drop them off at school or as they're leaving the house or as I drop them off to college in their apartment, or even just a few days ago, I was writing a letter to a couple of my younger kids that are going to be at camp that they'll receive later on. I always like to close with saying to them, hey, be light and be great. Now, it's important for us, especially in our society today, to continually redefine what greatness is. You see, being great, that's not by society's and our culture's standard. It's by the standards of Jesus. It's not about influence. It's not about power. Greatness is not about how many people serve you. Greatness is about how many people you serve. So, church, let's be light. And let's be great. And let's serve those around us. And let's love out loud.